Do you have some noisy snacks to crunch on?
No, that was just the other night. Those peanut butter sticks. Nutter Butters.
Ooh, Nutter Butters are really good. That was like candy of choice back when I like really into that stuff.
They have the generic version. We usually get like a bunch of them, like the Walmart brand, whatever they are, because they're like only 99 cents for like a box. And oh, damn. We get like 3 or 4 boxes at a time between me and the kids.
Yeah.
Well, what about for the rest of the week? It's Monday and Tuesday.
Right. Usually I have to like have like 1 or 2 left to kind of ration out for the rest of the week.
Hide it in a cupboard somewhere so everybody doesn't find it.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and our place to talk about uplifting experiences we have had. Sin, we don't want to hear about Game of Thrones. Please go on.
All right, I'm out. This is not the Game of Thrones podcast. This is not where I parked my car.
How are you doing tonight, Sin?
Pretty darn magical. And yourself?
Oh, I'm good.
Warm and fuzzies on the inside?
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you what got me the warm and fuzzies. We do have a special guest this week. This guy got me through my first Scourge of the Past and got me Outbreak Prime and the Emblem all on the first run. His name is Bo Solaris. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, man, I'm tired as hell. How are you?
Probably not as tired as me. And I'll elaborate by saying that I did actually fall asleep in the middle of a raid last night. That's how damn tired I am.
And there was snoring.
Jiminy Christmas.
Oh, man. It's good to have you on. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, man. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Tell us a little bit about what you do. I mean, I know a lot of people listening know, but some people may not. So tell us, you know, about you obviously play Destiny and just a couple things that you do.
So I play Destiny a lot, and I play. I also play Destiny PvP and PvE and PvE PvPvE PV stuff. Mm-hmm. So everything Destiny wise, I don't really play much else. that's pretty much what I dedicate myself to. I'm a software developer by day.
Oh, nice.
A gamer by afternoon, night, and like do a couple rounds at the gym and play around with my pupper dog and. Maybe watch some TV, but mainly just Destiny. That's me.
And I know part of the TV includes Game of Thrones, because we did talk about that leading into the show tonight.
Oh, yes.
Now, because you're a software developer by day, does that mean you work from home?
I can work from home. I have that freedom.
I know from experience, because I see you stream a lot, and I know you do a lot with the community with Raid Sherpas, but I just looked at your time in Destiny. Do you actually know how many hours you put in?
Oh, I saw the command pop up. I'm afraid to go and look.
Ooh, well, we will have to look at that.
It's probably the most I've seen out of anybody.
I know I had close to like 4,000 hours in Destiny 1. And I think last time I looked, I was creeping up on like 2,800 on Destiny 2. But I'm looking at the time command now and it's... Oh, wow.
A lot of hours.
A lot.
But I know part of that, like you said, you don't play much of anything else. You're grinding it out every single day. Now, I did see a picture you posted on Twitter. You actually do have all of the seals. Is that correct?
Yeah, all the seals and titles. Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations to
congratulations.
That.
Do tell us what the... With the, what is it, Chronicler, the one where you get all the lore?
Mm.
Do you have to technically cheese that to have it by now, or were you able to get it legit?
No, that was not a legit get. It was that was definitely a cheese. I cheesed it 1 week because it was the last seal that I needed, and it's kind of like that last bite of cake that's sitting there, and you just can't resist eating it.
Nothing wrong with it. I was just wondering for like technically how it's supposed to be. I think I had heard like it's the next curse week, correct? Like next week or something like that.
Yep. Okay. I think next week is the first week legitimately that anybody could have the Chronicle title. Yeah.
Man, that is congratulations though for having all those seals.
Yeah, that is a huge grind for sure.
Yeah, tell us. Where do you play on PS4? Any other systems?
No, I play on console. I think I've started the first mission on PC about 6 or 7 times and just never finish it because I'm like just so defeated because I don't have all my console stuff on PC. So I just go back to PS4.
Oh, I know the feeling.
So, yeah, we know that all too well, for sure.
But for that, like, 2 minutes that I do play on PC, I get addicted to the no recoil and stuff like that. And then I die because I have no muscle memory for PC gaming and got my controller again and go. But I understand you can use a controller,
yeah,
right?
I was going to say, you could play with a controller.
I do.
So that's always an option. I may be on PC at some point in the future. I mean, I'm holding out hope. Hope springs eternal. For Sony to get whatever it is out of their rear and let people transfer Sony progress to PC cross-platform play, but like
progress, cross save.
Yeah.
Just tonight again, Paul Tassi tweeted something about that. He's like, who do I have to bribe to get, you know, some cross-save progression, you know, from one system to another? So,
yeah, I can't imagine how much tighter the community would be. Like if we could have, you know, PC players come to console, or more likely than not, console players go to PC to like help each other out and play. Because the sandboxes are, like, it doesn't seem like it, but they're drastically different when you go to PC. I mean, the gunplay is totally different.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that going into the PvP realm of things. Mm. Console for me seems to be a lot easier. When you go to PC, way, way more sweat.
I imagine, yeah. I see some people play and like just the movement and things that they can do that's just possible on the PC. And I'm like, wow, it's a whole other league, whole new world.
Why did I think of Aladdin when you said that?
Oh, no.
I was thinking of it too.
Now, you're primarily Destiny. And how do you, have you been doing Sherpa runs? Because I've sent a few people over to your stream recently that wanted OP, that, you know, I'm just not as good to be able to help them. I can make it to the end now, finally, but I'm not as good. But have you been doing Sherpa runs? I know you did Scourge. Do you like do it normally every week? Is that kind of your thing with raids and whatever's going on?
So first, congratulations for being able to make it to the end of the mission. It's a very, very hard mission and takes a lot of like muscle memory and practice to get there. Not a lot of people can do it. So great job on that one. But as for Sherpas, man, we used to do it every single week when Scourge of the Past was like the new raid and people couldn't find teams for it. We used to do it every single week. And then I got involved with Planet Destiny and Scourge of the Past started kind of going by the wayside. And then it was always, I think, Joker's Wild had released. So Reckoning was like the new thing. So we would take some people through Reckonings and stuff. And then that had some obvious issues with the community, so that kind of died out a little bit. And so then things were kind of slowing down on getting stuff for people. We found a couple first time Argos folks and whatnot, but then 0 hour hit and wow, did things just take off.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're lucky to have you on as a guest this week, but also we haven't talked about this yet in our podcast because like we were kind of joking last week how boy, we hope another Whisper style quest comes out sometime. And we didn't mean next week we were talking about it, but sure enough, it does.
Oh, wow. Knock on wood.
I know you like it. I like the mission, but tell me like what you thought when you first went into it and how you like it and everything like that.
Well, so it was a normal Tuesday for me. I was actually went into the office because I didn't have anything to do. Like it reset for my lunch. I didn't have anything to take care of. I'll be at the office all day. And then Bungie releases like a small update, like they said they were going to do, because they were fixing the tower bounty, the Invitation of the Nine Tower piece for Xur. And then all of a sudden the data miners are like, hey, look at these new catalysts that are in here. Look at this catalyst image. It looks like Outbreak Prime. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. They're preloading stuff for Season of Opulence, so things won't be too bad. And mm-hmm. then I go back on Reddit about 5 minutes later because I get bored easy and lose focus. And somebody's like, hey, I found this thing on Titan, and it's leading me to a couple of different places. And my heart sank a little bit, and I'm like, what? What's happening? And then like 10 minutes later, like, I found a couple of nodes for this thing, and I'm making progress on it. And right then and there, I'm like, okay, I'm going home to work for the rest of the day. I will, if you guys need any questions, you can email me. I'll be home.
I'm not feeling very well. I got to go home. Yeah, don't bother me for the next 10 hours. I'm going to be busy.
I'm actually really fortunate at the company, like the consultancy and stuff that I work for, that I can actually do that. But yeah, I came straight home and I went through, found all the transponder stuff through the community's help. And then this mission was out there, and I started going through it, and I was blown away. First, like, I almost had a tear in my eye because I knew exactly where we landed, and I knew exactly what Bungie was doing from that like moment on, because I recognized that small courtyard from the end of the homecoming mission, and I recognized it was the old tower as soon as we got out of the duct, and we were there by the speaker's old area, and where Executor Hideo was, all the other kiosks. And I had a smile on my face. It was going from ear to ear. Like, I had a little frog in my throat, and I couldn't talk with anybody in my fire team that, you know, I was currently running with. And it was hard at first. I didn't know any of the enemy placements or anything, and it was challenging. I was like, this is, can we swear on this? Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're not marked, but a small one. Don't worry.
It was fucking fantastic. I was so it was awesome, dude. I couldn't I think that the reference I made, like, on the scale of white girl to pumpkin spice latte, I was full pumpkin spice latte. Like, I couldn't even, like, there's no way. I couldn't do anything. It was so great, and I think it took us about, two iterations of going through the mission to kind of, like, get things down. And then I knew at that point, like, then that this is something big, and we're going to be able to take people through it really fast and really easy and help a lot of people out. And I loved it. From the start to the finish, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're in the same boat. Really love it. And when I was editing, I finished editing our last week's on Saturday night. And I'm sitting there listening to it. And like Kingsley said, we talked about it last week. And I'm just going through, like, remembering, like, damn, we talked about this. This is what we wanted. And it's here. We're living it now. It is such a great mission. I love Outbreak Prime. I enjoyed it in Destiny 1. It's one of the very few guns that I did play in Destiny 1. And to have it here now is amazing. I haven't gone through.
Of course, we have to remember heroic, now it's called, though. Outbreak Perfected.
Outbreak Perfected. We'll just call it OP for short.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know there's a lot more to this particular mission. I know there's heroic, which I have personally not done yet. From what I remember seeing, you have completed it, Bo, correct?
The 0 hour mission?
Yes, the heroic version.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yes, sir. I have completed the 0 hour heroic mission.
And now, have you finished the full masterwork? Because you get the masterwork at the end of finishing the heroic, and then it's just leveling it up from there.
You do get the masterwork for finishing it on heroic. However, it's almost carbon copy of the Whisper of the Worm catalyst. So you could only get for catalyst progress. Excuse me. So you can only get about 33% per week if you do the heroic mode puzzle and finish heroic. So. It's a minimum of 3 weeks until your catalyst is complete. There's two pieces to the catalyst, right? So there's one where you got to get precision final kill or precision kills with Outbreak Prime perfected. And that takes a lot. I think it's like maybe 500 or so, and which is obviously done already. And then there's the one where every time you finish the heroic, the first time in a week that you finish the heroic version of the mission, you get 20% on your catalyst. But then if you do the I think this week it's the Void configuration. You can pick up a little data pad thing, and you find a couple key card components throughout the mission. And then there's a giant puzzle at the end of the mission. I guess I shouldn't say giant, but a more lengthy puzzle at the end of the mission, that if you complete that and you complete the bounty, it gives you another 13% towards your progress. So each week you can get a maximum of 33% progress on the catalyst. That was really long and drawn out.
Is that, no, that helps. And is that extra 13% something you could potentially do solo, or do you need a team to do that?
So my name's not Glad, but if it was, you would be, and if your name is Glad, I love you, Glad. You guys would be, you'd be able to get it solo.
I was thinking, like, you know, on Whisper, you could do it the long way or the short way. I just kind of went in solo and did the little chests over time and got my, you know, masterwork that way. But there's not something like that in this one where you could just do it yourself solo, probably.
Well, let me shed some light on the how you do the puzzle. So when you, this week, it's the, I think it's Void Burn or a Void Singe, whatever it's called. Yeah, Void Singe. This week for the heroic version. So when you load in and you clear out that first room with all the annoying shanks and captains and invisible marauders, you'll see like a data pad that gives you an exotic bounty where Ava Levante used to be in D1. And okay. On that bounty, there it says you got to get three different key cards, red, yellow, and blue, I think. Or red, green, and blue. I want to say red, green, blue because of RGB. But anyway, you get those, and then... You know that giant Cryptarch room just before the boss arena? The one where you see like the dead ghost and the Shard of the Traveler and the Cyrus Cube or Cyrus stuff?
Cool area.
So that room has seven smaller rooms in it, each with a color assigned to it. And each one of those seven rooms has seven panels inside of it. And in the main room, there are three main consoles. So one console, or each console... has two separate clock-like circles on it. Each circle has 12 segments, kind of like a clock, but it's just aligned a little differently. And you read the position of the lit-up section on the left one and the position of the lit-up section on the second one, and that is sort of like a code that Raid Secrets went to town on, and they broke all this stuff down, and there's a bunch of tools out there to help you figure this out. But once you get the configuration of one console, it tells you like which room to go to and which console inside the room to activate. And every time you do that, you get 2% or what was it? No, it doesn't add to the catalyst, but you get like one added to the bounty for like SIVA particulates. Mm-hmm. And you need to do that 49 times in order to complete that bounty. So imagine like you have to get to the end of the mission, and then you have to start doing this puzzle 49 times over. And so there's seven rooms and seven consoles in each room, so each console has to be activated once. That's where the 49 comes from. Every time you get one correct, you get 15 seconds added back to the clock. So it's not like you have to get there with an ample amount of time left and then hope you get all 49 in there, because the bounty has a 1 minute expiration timer on it. So if you go to order, so it expires like a minute after you get it. But the way bounties work, it doesn't like actually leave your inventory until you go to orbit. So Bungie designed it where it had to actually be done in the mission right then and there. No other time. You can do it solo. I watched Glad's video do it solo, but I definitely recommend having two other people with you to help you get it done.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. It makes sense. I mean, I was telling Sin and other people in my crew that some aspects of this mission is easier to me than Whisper of the Worm mission, especially being a warlock. But it sounds like these heroic aspects are probably harder in a way than Whisper of the Worm.
Heroic's actually really funny, because it actually, the Whisper of the Worm heroic didn't change like your path or how you had to attempt or approach the mission at all.
Yeah.
The heroic version of Zero Hour, you actually have to change your approach in a few separate areas. Like the jumping puzzle is completely different. I think in the heroic version, when you come out and you go underneath that drop ship and start going through all the ducts and stuff like that, you don't do that anymore. That grate is like covered up. I remember the first time we got there and the grate was covered up. We all just like we all looked at the grate. Our characters looked at the grate, and then we all looked up like at each other with our characters. Like, what do we do? What is this?
Yeah.
Later, we found out like the path from then on is like completely divergent, and the jumping puzzle is it's a little bit more difficult, and it gives you a lot more vertigo than you would, and anxiety than you would expect, because it's very small ledges and it's a very high. Kudos to Bungie on their sky boxes. Yeah, it worked and freaking me out and gave me a little bit of anxiety running through it. Because that jumping puzzle is completely different, and it requires like kind of precise jumping and knowing your character's jumps pretty well to get around the stuff. And like Trevor's the exact same. Unfortunately, I kind of wish they would have done something different with Trevor, but I understand that he's a beast and like the true guardian of legend because he's impassive. And then you have the easy bake oven. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that might be it. I'm sure somebody will call me out if it's not.
The pathway, like the blocks on the ground, is that what you're calling the easy bake oven?
Yeah. You know, yeah, if you'll follow the right path on the floor, you just get toasted.
Gotcha. Now, the particulates in the bounty, does that leads only to catalyst progression?
Yep.
Now, did I see there's something to do with a ship as well, like a different...
Right, person? So when you complete the bounty, it gives you a schematic for a ship, kind of like Whisper of the Worm. Only Whisper didn't have a bounty. I think you just had to do like the Oracle puzzle, and then you open the chest and you got the ship. And then I don't remember on Whisper if you had to go back through the mission that week to get credit for the Void Singe or whatever Singe week it was. But
yeah, I think it was a schematic that had three different Singes.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
All three.
And so it's the exact same thing with the schematic or the the bounty that you get in the mission. Once you complete it, it gives you once you complete it, the reward is, hey, here's a ship schematic in order for you to finish. And every time you complete it, here's 13% towards your bounty or catalyst progression.
That's awesome. I don't know how soon I'll be able to complete heroics that quickly because I've never completed one now, but it'll be something worth trying. And it sounds like doing the bounty the first time is going to be difficult trying to figure out getting all the, like you said, the particulates or whatever the nodes are.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting. Now, once you get them, do you actually have to complete the boss room for it to give credit?
You do not. No, once you complete that that little bounty as it's in your inventory, it auto-completes for you and gives you all the saves of progress for you and stuff. So you don't actually have to complete the mission in order to save all the particulates and things that you've got.
Gotcha. That's helpful then. You don't have to do that and still beat the bosses at the end.
Yeah, that would be really tough, especially for like an not-so-coordinated team or your first couple of times through. Because like I said, you get 15 seconds back on the clock for every node you get correct. But, you know, nobody's perfect and not everybody's going to call out the correct numbers every single time because, I mean, like I said, it looks like a clock, but it's tilted just a little bit so that it's really easy to, like, call out a wrong number or a wrong combination.
Right.
So it's really interesting. But Raid Secrets got that all figured out in, like, a couple hours and they have a spreadsheet that's up there that that makes it really easy to read the clock items and call out the numbers and stuff. And it's, man, those guys, oof, those guys blow me away sometimes on Raid Secrets.
Well, I'm excited to jump in there.
Yeah, I'm excited to try the heroic. I'm pretty proud of myself this time getting all the normal version jumping down fairly quickly. Again, as a warlock, I always feel like I'm usually towards the tail end of people getting into the boss rooms because I tend to have minor issues here and there. But with this mission, I'm actually pretty okay on the jumping puzzle, but I definitely want to try the heroic before I speak too soon and see how much more difficult it is and how well I do on it. But I was watching a streamer who was a warlock doing it, and I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing. I feel like, you know, maybe I can try that and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think the alternate jump puzzle in the heroic version is, I think it adds maybe another 30, 45 seconds if you're taking your time in it, like to your actual completion time, it adds that much. But I think where Bungie did a really, really good job with this, especially from like the standpoint of somebody who like really takes people through and kind of shows them the ropes on it, is that if you're ahead of somebody there's a switch that you can turn on or flip that will pull out either platforms or a marker or something like that, that will make it easier for the people that are behind you to catch up. So like, you know, when you come out from underneath the drop ship on normal mode and you get on those yellow like girders outside of the tower and you see that really huge drop and really precarious jumps to very, very small ledges. So you can drop straight down from those yellow girders, right? And if there's somebody who's already gone ahead of you and activated the switch, when you look down, you can actually see like a small ledge jutting out with a red light on it. So you can like aim towards something. Whereas somebody who's gone through the mission like 80 some odd times, they know that they can jump down there and space out their jumps and stuff and make that shortcut without the platform and then activate the switch so that everybody behind them can like know the shortcut and maybe pass that information on to somebody else. It's like there's a, you know, that chasm that has the very, very small ledges on each side.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a blue-ish room, and you have that one small, like, V-looking light at the end that you're aiming towards. There's a switch just after you get past that that puts out some easy mode platforms, too, that are, like, flat platforms that go straight down the middle of that, you know, large hallway, so it's easy to jump from one another to get there. And even in the heroic version, there's a switch just after the easy bake oven that turns the oven off. So people can just run straight through like it's normal mode and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. In like versioning parlance for this mission, you could say it's definitely a 2.0. They've learned and added some new things to make it even better from compared to Whisper.
Yeah, because I know in the Whisper mission, when we used to help people with that, like hardly anybody would make it to the end. Like people we were taking through. Because I mean, it was timed and it was a little bit longer and it was a little bit tougher than what the 0 hour mission. But the 0 hour mission had so many pitfalls and so many jumps and like one wrong move and you were set back so far from people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the 0 hour one is much more friendly towards people that aren't so comfortable with jump puzzles. And especially with those switches that Sherpas and people that are teaching can kind of put out there so people can catch up and make it even further. It's definitely a win.
Has there been any like, you know, you've been helping some people through this, you've been running a lot yourself. Has there been anything that's kind of stood out? Like really, I mean, you probably just run it and you're used to it now, but like any like interesting thing, you're like, oh, someone found something and we don't think it means anything right now, but you know, just anything kind of memorable from running through it. Like even just someone that you were shepherding through noticed.
So I remember the first time that I went through it, I kind of rushed. And the second time I stopped in the Cryptarch room where the actual puzzle is. And I wasn't paying attention to anything that ended up being worth a damn. But looking at all like the artifacts that were in there, there's some really interesting stuff in there. There's like a piece of the Traveler that looks like the piece that Aldrin had, but that obviously got sucked up by the greed of, Zivorath, I think. And there's a dead ghost shell in there. And there's a pyramid to talk with Osiris in there. That like, there's a moon rock. There's a cat from the Dreaming City, a cat statue. There's a Vex, like, I don't know what it's called, but it's like that little green teal colored globe that you see around Vex installations.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, and I'm wondering like, why the hell is all this stuff in a Cryptarch vault? I don't get it. And it's that was. And then my buddy that I ran with, I'm just going to refer to him as Nerf Stickies on the podcast because his current name is a little lewd.
The Bang Mara Solve one?
Yeah. I Bang Mara Solve winky face. Which I'm jelly because I remember that name. He looked up when we went to the Easy Bake Oven part. And he said it looked like the cylinders that you stood on for the original Outbreak Prime puzzle, you know, in the giant pyramid room or the giant diamond room.
We would call them batteries or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He looked up at the Easy Bake Oven and at those, it actually looked like those cylinders were above on the ceiling.
Hmm.
So that was pretty interesting.
They did, it's excellent what, the time and effort they put into this. I knew another secret quest would be coming at some point. They'd hinted at things and there was just no way they couldn't have added another one after they saw how how much of a success Whisper the Worm was. I bet Bungie and developers, you know, they're just always so, I bet they're anxious, like, yeah, we can't say anything until it's time to come out. And they're like, people are getting antsy, you know, that, you know, we know PvP is not in the best state for a lot of people. We know that, you know, okay, the spring event is ending and people are like, what do we do now? Chirp, chirp. But like, little do they know there's going to be this great quest. And I bet they're just so excited to see everyone just like grasp onto it.
Kudos to those people for keeping under wraps. And I can't imagine how much joy and everything they had when they released the update and they were just watching the community swarm around everything. I actually thought that the Outbreak Prime, like Catalyst and stuff that was in the data mine, my first thought was, oh, they just put that in there to bait the data miners and stuff, because they did that before with some of the lore people. Time, I think when Forsaken actually dropped, really off wall, I think fakey things in there. If I'm remembering correctly, I think they did.
But I heard that too.
But I thought that's what they were doing this time around, just to kind of like, you know, throw people off. But I mean, people started finding things. And I just got sick for the afternoon and had to go home and turn on my game.
I wish I could have done the same thing. I remember seeing it at work. But let's shift gears a little bit. So we're coming now into the season of Opulence. There's some things that they're changing. You're a big raider. One thing in the news that I have to bring this up is the change to the way raids are going to work come day one of Opulence. We're having day one of Opulence. The raid's going to drop. They're disabling Scourge of the Past and Last Wish to prevent people from running those to get powerful drops. What are your thoughts on their take on or pathway to the raid this time around compared to the prior take on it?
I actually love everything except about when the raid is releasing. So I like the fact that the old raids are, well, the raids that give powerful, like, level up rewards, I love that those are being disabled. And I love the fact that, you know, we only get like 6 hours to kind of prepare, because that's like, who can effectively run milestones in 6 hours and maybe some comp in 6 hours before the raid drops so that people can go in. However, since it releases on a Tuesday, I know a lot of people are, even people that make an attempt for Worlds First, you know, there's a lot of people that try for that kind of stuff, right? Not just streamers, but people that have, you know, everyday jobs. It's really tough to get off on like a Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday morning, instead of like a Friday afternoon. So that kind of bugs me a little bit. But I mean, it was the same thing when Crota launched. So, or when the Dark Below launched, only leveling up was a little bit different back then.
Well, I feel like for like making it an exciting all in one day, it's an excellent idea. I mean, I guess if they have to go with their Tuesday release, they already have that. And then having the raid that night, it gives people double reason to kind of maybe take the whole day off if they can, or even if they can't, they just know that, okay, today's the big day and the raid's starting at night and most people will be getting home by then, even if they have to work, and they can start watching the streamers. So I like it as far as like making it a bigger one day event. I have some concerns about even less now, will I be able to get into the raid on day one and even have a chance of passing the first encounter? But who knows? Maybe it won't be as bad as I'm worrying about.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. Yeah. Having it all in one day is like really, really awesome. And I love that there's all this excitement building and people can't cheese priming grams or people can't find, I mean, I'm sure someone's going to find some kind of way to cheese something. People always do. But I love that it's all in one day and it's all this excitement's building around all this new content. And then we have 6 hours until we can move on and get this raid here. And I know that the raid light level starting level is pretty low compared to where we are, where it normally is on a raid start. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, have you ever personally had a team try for Worlds First?
Yep. Yep. I've never done it, but I've always had a group at raid launch to go in and do our damnedest to get there.
And have you gotten close?
I think we were one of the top 20 teams to finish the Last Wish on PSN. Oh man, I'm getting really fuzzy on that one. Because I know I finished it in the first weekend. I got my raid jacket and everything for that. And I got Scourge of the Past. We did that on day one, but we were nowhere near World's First. And it's really difficult to be World's First now on console. It's because console has it feels way different, moves a lot different, and it's kind of weird that way. Right. But yeah, I definitely always have a team ready to go in, and we have the mindset of, hey, let's get World's First. And even if we don't, you know, let's finish it out and see how fast we can do it. I mean, I think we were on par with Datto's team. Actually, we were ahead of Datto's team for Leviathan going through it the first time. We were ahead of them at Baths, and we figured out Dogs. And I think they got ahead of us at Gauntlet. And then they, of course, beat us at Kallus himself. But that was a really tough raid learning.
Right. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, not so much anymore. I had fun going into that when it first came out. And I remember the group that I ran with, I think we pretty much went in blind. We didn't start looking up a guide until maybe a little bit at Dogs. But we had already spent a few hours by that point. But it was just so fun to go into it and actually pass a couple encounters on the first night it comes out. And I want to get there again. I wasn't able to do it with Last Wish or Scourge or Spire. We might have passed the first. Yeah, we passed the first encounter on the first night because that one wasn't too bad. But I kind of want to get to that level again with this raid where I hope I can actually pass the first encounter on night one with the crew, you know, and maybe even go a little bit further. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I've always been working during the last raid launches. So I've last two Scourge of the Past, Last Wish. I decided to watch streams on them just because I wasn't able to jump in and be blind during that first day or try to go in for raids first. So I didn't care as much with these last two, but I remember the original raid. I did go in blind the first time. Eater of Worlds, I don't remember too much if I went in blind or not. I think we did for a little while, but then I think we ended up looking at the guide.
Yeah.
Man, I'm super pumped though.
I can't remember how many times I've actually gone in blind to a raid. Like, I know we go in and we try and figure things out on our own, and if we get stuck or start spinning our wheels, we'll definitely like if there's something out there, because I mean, you know, we're trying to race, you know, other people for World's First at the first point. And then once you know what to do, it's all about who can just execute it better. So the better team always comes out, obviously, to finish first.
You're right.
But yeah, it's always fun trying to figure all that stuff out for yourself. And if you do figure it out and you can move on and forward without looking anything up, man, that's such a good.
Yeah, it builds you up being able to have that, knowing you were able to do it without having to rely on somebody else for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned you're with Planet Destiny. We didn't really touch on that too much earlier on in the podcast, but tell us a little bit about your role with Planet Destiny. What do you do for them? Do you stream, make videos? What's your role with them?
So I actually started with Planet Destiny, this past month or so has been flying by so fast, but I'm part of their stream team. So I'm not creating like the YouTube videos or writing articles for them. I just have a night that I stream for them. And I think I was on Friday nights, and then we tried out a Thursday night, and then they want to move me back to Friday nights. So I think Friday nights are where I'm going to end up calling home for Planet Destiny streams. So every Friday night you can catch me there.
Awesome. I think I remember actually seeing you there this past Friday, if I'm not mistaken, because I saw something pop up that alerted me that they were streaming, and I think it was I saw your name attached to it, so I jumped on for a hot minute.
You know, Sin, you were mentioning, and Bo, you were saying where we can find you. Now, if someone, I'm also not 100% sure myself, so why I'm asking, if someone wants to acquire for your help, what's the best way to do that?
Definitely not a PSN message.
Yeah, I would assume not.
Well, you'd be surprised. Like, I get a lot of people message me like out of the blue, and it's mind boggling. And sometimes I think about just creating a new account because I have so many friend requests and messages to go through that it's easier to move to a different account instead of declining them all. And deleting all the messages because you want to respond to them all, but you can't. But the best way to get a hold of me is either I'm on Twitter and I'm on Twitch. So I'll pop into a stream anytime or send me a message on Twitter or tag me in something on Twitter and I'll definitely get back to it. I monitor those the most. I would say send me something on Discord, but I think I'd have to share a server with you or be a friend with you on Discord in order to get something. So it's a little nuanced. But yeah, definitely Twitter or Twitch.
Yeah, and we'll have you tell those at the end of the podcast, and we like putting them in the show notes too, if you're okay with that. But as far as the Discord, yeah, I've seen you around too, like at least in the Project Guardians Discord offering help to people. So it sounds like you're great. You go out of your way. It's a very nice thing that you do.
Yeah, the new clan that I'm a part of, we have a wide variety of talents, a lot of strong PvP players. So I actually started branching out with helping folks doing a lot of drugs. So it's about who you know and how far you can get out there to how many Discord servers. I can scroll for a good like 5 seconds for all the Discord servers that I'm in. So you got to get out there. And that's the best way to help a lot of people too. Just get out there and tell them you're there.
I actually thought about removing some of the Discords that I'm in that are inactive or I don't see any marks that there have been activity on just to clean up my list a little bit more. So I couldn't imagine having that many.
Yeah, I should do some cleanup. You know, you're right. I should definitely clean up on some of that stuff.
Well, it was good that, you know, you're willing to come on our podcast. We're very, very thankful for that. Boy, what else is good news about this week, Sin? I mean, we mostly did this mission.
Yeah.
I mean, we did raid a little bit. We hopped into a Scourge of the Past raid. we don't have to bore a bow with the there, but the interesting part is Sin fell asleep and started snoring on air.
I wasn't streaming.
Well, you weren't streaming, but no. On our party. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure someone might have clipped it.
Oh wow.
Link did, but I'm pretty sure I could not hear the snoring in there, so I'm like safer now.
You know, I was saying, and you know, I blame you. You work a lot. For some reason, I don't think I could ever fall asleep playing Destiny, especially with other people around. If anything, I would just like pass out and hit the floor or something. But even still, I might have the gumption to at least mute and take off my headset before I fall asleep.
Well, I didn't think about it. I was laying down because somebody was explaining something. And I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm just going to like lay my head down for a second. And the next thing I know, we're flying into the tower. I'm like, wait, what?
We couldn't wake you back up. We sent you a couple of PlayStation messages.
I had the headset on. You could have screamed in the mic. I probably would have waken up.
Well, yeah, I actually had a funny story when we were doing some Gambit Prime, and we were pushing that really hard when Joker's Wild come out. One of our buddies, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're sitting here and we're on a really good hot streak. And all of a sudden we realize, wow, there's only like three of us doing anything over here. And one of our guys is sitting in spawn, and we hear like a slight hiccup or a deep breath or something like that. And I told everybody else in the party chat, you know, you guys should probably mute here for a second. And because the other guy fell asleep. And I was yelling like, dude, wake your ass up and get over here. But the very next thing, and then he woke up and he's like, I'm just waiting for the high value target. And I'm just waiting. There was no high value target, but no more than 5 seconds later, the Drifter comes on and is like, there's a high value target over in the next area. Gun him down.
No.
He did. It was so funny.
He was meditating. He knew
yes, he was.
I usually don't fall asleep though. We'll just put that out there. Even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. This week has been brutal between work, drive, staying up and getting up early. It's been brutal.
Speaking Gambit, and the weapon, you know, we all have it now and a lot of people have the weapon. What do we think of it? I mean, I've had fun in Gambit with it on the Primevals. Has anyone else?
Are we talking about Outbreak?
Tried it.
Yes, we're talking about Outbreak Perfected.
Okay.
OP. Have you tried it anywhere?
I've done it in PvE. right? Just on patrol and playing around with it. I don't have any personal experience with it in PvP or Gambit yet. However, the guy that I bang, who runs with me all the time and helping people get through 0 hour, took it into Gambit Prime. And he was telling me that he had one stack of Primeval Slayer. So they got one Primeval Envoy down, or one set of Primeval Envoys down in Gambit Prime. And with just Outbreak Prime, he did 110,000 damage to the Primeval. And with like the reduced damage numbers in Gambit Prime, that's really, really good.
Yeah. You basically pop a Warlock well down, and if like two or more on your fire team has Outbreak, it's like just boom, it just melts.
Yeah, and it's like a better version of Rat King, because I'm pretty sure like all the Outbreak perfecteds in the fire team count together for like the more damage for all the nanite swarms and stuff that are on there. And the ones that build up, like it is devastating.
And I think I remember seeing a video also of a one plate for Kallus.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a half phase for Insurrection Prime, Scourge of the Past, final raid boss too.
Yeah, we want to try that. We're getting tired. We were about to that point when we were doing the raid the other night, and but we definitely want to try the Outbreak Perfected on Insurrection Prime. That'll be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to put it down for a while, because I get a little dopamine release every time I proc Outlaw and I reload, and I get that little like alert whine or whatever it is that comes off of the gun. I was addicted to that sound effect in D1 with all of the Wrath of the Machine weapons, and now that it's back on Perfected, I'm like, oh, I love it so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are looking forward to using that weapon. We are looking forward to running this mission some more. It's a good time in the game right now, and boy, we only have a couple weeks left. Don't you think they got to like show us something soon within the next couple weeks, like a trailer or a preview for the next season? I mean, we're getting close.
Yeah.
So 3-4 weeks away now?
Even less. It's June, like the first,
June 4th.
The first week.
June 4th. Yeah.
Yeah. So as of this coming, we're obviously recording on the 12th. As of the 14th, it's exactly 3 weeks away. So we are, it's really right around the corner.
Yeah. I would imagine by like next week, we'll probably start seeing some spoilery-ish stuff.
Yeah.
Teaser trailers, new guns, maybe a Zalo Supercell or two.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool? Zalo?
I've been asking for it, but I don't think Bungie is listening to me.
It's possible.
Just no more exotic hand cannons.
I was just going to say, I want my beloved Hawkmoon to come back.
Okay, we'll take that one. But
so there is another exotic hand cannon that still hasn't. Did we talk about that last week? Or we were talking about that at some point. You know, I think we have all the Destiny 1 guns back now, but I guess Hawkmoon we didn't consider.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least the exotic, right?
Well, great. Anything else on our list for tonight before we wrap up here? Mr. Sin, I am looking up my note.
No, I think we covered everything that I can think of. Really, the big topic this week was OP.
Definitely.
What's coming up in the, what kind of what we're looking forward to of Opulence, I guess. And I know we'll have more when more news comes out. We got to chat with our good buddy, Bo. And hey.
Yeah.
I think we had a pretty good streak. So I'm happy.
Great.
Bo, is there anything else you want to tell our community?
No. I mean, if you guys ever want any kind of help, you know, just a message away. And
just not on PlayStation.
Else, yeah, just not on PSN, please. Not on PSN. And if you know how to do stuff, like go out and help everybody, or help as many people as you can. Like pay it forward and stuff. It'll come pay you back in spades. Like it's so rewarding to like hear somebody's cheer at the end of a mission, or like hear them kind of hiccup trying to choke back, you know, all the excitement they have so they can keep their cool or something. But it's a really great feeling if you can help somebody out, and the community needs more people to get out there and help instead of, hey, you need 5 clears to get in here, and it's like day 1 and nobody's cleared it yet, and you know, all that kind of ridiculous stuff.
Oh, for sure. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, is just to be a resource for people to find out about people like you, people, all the different people we've interviewed, and have just more resources of like, okay, you know, I'm willing to put in my work, but who can help me get over the edge to get this mission passed? I'm having some problems with it, you know, and then possibly then they can hit you up and maybe run with you. So again, it's been a super pleasure having you on.
Well, it's been fun being here. I really like this. It's fun.
So
did I mention it was fun? Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Oh, it was a blast. It was fun. It was a blast. It was all of the above.
Amazing.
Now, do you have
unbelievable
any contact info that you are willing people to contact you at, like Twitter or Twitch?
So on Twitter and Twitch and at everywhere, you can find me everywhere by my actual PSN name, BOSOLARIS. So Bo Solaris. You Google it, all one word, you'll find me on Twitter, you'll find me on Reddit, you'll find me on Twitch. You'll probably find my YouTube channel, which is pretty sparse. But yeah, feel free to send a message through any one of those mediums, and I'll be more than happy to respond to you. You can usually find a Reddit thread by me on the weekends on our fighter teams, helping people, especially lately, help people get through the 0 hour. So we're going to start our heroic Sherpas soon. So keep an eye out.
Oh, excellent. And everyone,
I'll be there for sure.
Oh, I'll be there. And everyone, at least follow Bo Solaris. You know, again, the more people we have in the community, the better. Well, great. And we'll have all your contact info listed. It's totally a pleasure. When Sin told me that you'd be coming on, I'm like, oh, this is excellent news. I love having different people on from the community. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. No problem. I'll be on anytime you want me. I'll be there for you.
Right, we appreciate that for sure.
Sin, where can people find you, sir?
You can call me at 1-800-867-5309. Or on Twitter at Sin_media, Sin is C-Y-N, or Twitch at Sin Media, where I have been very rarely streaming lately because of my work schedule. But those are my two main jams. Kingsley, and why don't you take us out and let us know where we can find you.
Yes, thank you very much. You can find me at Kingsley Mac on PlayStation, also on Twitch by Kingsley Mac, where I occasionally just stream if I am raiding. On Twitter, you can find me at MC Kingsley. And the show can be found at theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Yes, and Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So please follow us on those places. We have a great Discord. If you haven't joined yet, please join the Discord. Everyone, thanks for listening tonight, and thanks for Bo Solaris being on. Have a good night.
Cheers.
Night, everybody.
Goodbye.
Should we end with some magical singing again?
If you want to.